July 12, 2021, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
Which tenor players do you think have influenced you, if any at all?
All of them. I would say all of them. But,
do you have a personal favorite? I mean, like you put on a record when you were at home and relaxing and so on.
Well, Sonny Rollins is, I think he's outstanding tenor man today, you know. And,
that is exactly what Sonny Rollins told me on this show about you. So
yeah, that's usually, you know, my man.
Mutual,
you know,
admiration society.
Yeah,
here.
Well, he's great. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the formative days,
well,
like years ago, it was Dexter Gordon that actually was. I mean,
you do have a strong feeling for tradition, haven't you?
I guess so. I mean, I would like to even make it stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to strengthen my roots, so to say, you know, because I didn't start at the beginning, and there's a whole lot back there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. For Pedro Show. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Ah, you can hear my guest, people. I'm not totally man alone because of those. No, we got let down a little, but well, who knows what the problem was, but we had to find a plan B, people. And it's FaceTime came to save us there. So whoever programmed that stuff, thank you so much. I got Jorge Bachman with me. Welcome aboard, Jorge.
Hey, how are you, everybody?
Yeah. We started with an excerpt from John Coltrane in Holland, talking a little bit about some... I love this answer he gives. You know, the guy asks him, so what tenor players have influenced you? And he goes, all of them. This is John Coltrane, right?
Yeah.
Like the dude in the marching band in high school, right? That's influence. Yeah, why not? He's beautiful. Uh-huh. Beautiful. And then from you, Ney. Did I pronounce right?
What do you mean?
N-E-I?
Ney.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ney.
So I got it right. Well, you never know. I destroy many languages on this show.
It's okay. Ney means mole in Italian, you know?
Or sometimes they say nail, too.
Yeah. So nail is singular. Ney is plural.
Ah, that's right. That's right. My mother's people are from Italy. I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Stonato. A little out of tune. You know, for stupid, sometimes they say you're out of tune a little bit. Let's talk about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest musical memory.
Earliest music memory is certainly my mom singing lullabies. She had a very good voice. And it's just being soothed by her voice when she was singing lullabies. I think it's the first one. After that is listening to her on the piano, but she quit pretty fast. And then I am just pounding on the thing and listening to sounds.
Ah, so there's a piano in the house you grew up in.
Yes, there is a piano. There was a piano in the house, yeah.
Okay. And you said you jumped on it, so you were almost playing it like drums?
No, I was actually just tapping with my hands, but without knowing exactly what I was doing.
Okay.
And I never actually end up taking piano lessons. I end up taking guitar lessons.
Ah, so was there guitar in the house too?
That came, no, I just got into that. And with friends in school, in high school, it's like, hey, let's create a band. And okay, guitars.
What kind? Acoustic or electric?
I started with an acoustic, then switched to an electric, but then the band, we had three guitars, drums, and a piano. So it's like, well, we need a bass.
Yes.
So I was the worst on guitar, so I got assigned the bass, which I hated for the first 6 months. And now it's one of my favorite instruments.
Okay.
I still play bass.
Yeah, great to hear. Yeah, because I've heard people say, yeah, kind of a punishment, I had to play the bass.
It was exactly like what I felt. It's like, fuck you guys. It's like, why do I have to play this? No, I don't want that. It's like heavy. No, I don't like it. But after 6 months, it's like, no, I'm liking it. So I'm part of the rhythm section. Perfect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got to tell you, man, some of these guys, like some Norteña and like sousaphone, okay? It's bass clef,
yeah.
But they're doing it on like tubas and stuff, and it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, I love it. I love it. It just moves your body. I just love it. So let me ask you. First record you bought with your own money?
Which was what?
First record you bought with your own money.
The first record I bought, Frucuis Sus Tesos.
Ah.
Which is a salsa band from Colombia.
Sure, sure. Wow, Colombia, there's some guys here in L.A. that do a cumbia, a Colombia version of cumbia.
Yes, sir.
It's Arturo and Ricardo Guzman. Man, they're great. Accordion, stand-up bass.
I have heard them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have heard them, yeah.
Now, first gig you went and saw?
The first gig I did, or so, where I play myself?
No, that you saw. Like you saw other musicians, huh?
Oh, the first gig I saw, meaning Colombia at the time, meaning in the 70s, we didn't have anybody, meaning big wigs, etc. No, so it was only local,
yeah.
And the local was Genesis. Genesis, not to mix with Genesis English. Genesis was a Colombian guy with a band in which most of the instruments were based on an Andy, like indigenous Andes. Like the drum set, the drum kit was all made with Indian drums.
Oh.
They were playing pan flutes.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because right, the old indigenous music is mainly flutes and drums.
So that was the first one. And then the second one was Moby Dick, which was a heavy metal band from Bogota.
Maybe named after a Led Zeppelin song.
Certainly. Certainly.
Like rock and Espanol, this kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, back then it was not called that, because the rock and Espanol became, more or less they coined the thing, that was actually in the mid-80s.
Yeah, right. So before, I think it was called classic rock, or national rock, or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, and what about school? Were you like in the marching band or the orchestra or choir?
No. I was in the choir, yes. I was part of the choir till I start changing my voice. You know, males, we mute and we start having these weird noises. And that's when the teacher is like, Jorge, out. Yeah. You can't sing.
You're done.
Yeah.
Head to a
toe. And then later on, I went back. Was at the beginning, I was more like on the equivalent of like a castrati, because very high pitch.
Yeah. So
then, when I got accepted again, I was on the basis.
Then okay. but you had the good ear at least. The voice changed, but the ear was good.
Okay. So yeah, that's the other thing. It's like that teacher taught us solfège, as all the notes, etc. So I used to read. I hate that. No, so I don't. I refuse to read now. Meaning, I can, but I don't want.
Okay. Now,
it has helped. Meaning, because it's understanding structures in music, etc., and measures, blah blah blah. But nowadays, it's like, no, fuck that shit. I don't want all those structures.
Right. Old fashioned way of collaboration. Right now, you actually just go play with the guy or trade files.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you were talking about this band where you play bass. Did that band do gigs? We did a few gigs.
We played for 4 years together before we finished high school, and then two of the members moved to Spain and England for university, so more or less we disbanded. But we stayed the three rhythm section, piano, bass, and drums.
Yeah.
We lived in the same neighborhood. We continued doing our music together. More like just jamming jazz and prog rock and stuff like that. Wow. So the first gig was at a music contest, school music contest, and that was in 1974, I think.
Okay. I graduated high school in 1976.
I graduated in 1978.
Ah, we're close.
Okay. Yeah.
So was this gig a success?
It was actually pretty good. I don't think, meaning looking back, it's like we were very bad. But everybody loved it. Oh, yeah, the new rock and roll band in the school. We became kind of like the mascots in the school, because everybody was actually more playing the little singer-songwriter stuff, etc. And we were just the first rock band.
Right, okay.
And so, yeah, that was actually fun.
You gave me this tune here. Azuar?
Azuar, that is the name of a street in Mare Island.
Okay, I want to play.
I think it's also the name of a journal or something like that during the California things.
Oh, okay, let's listen.
with your silver eyes shining. You dropped your wooden spoon. I see that you've been crying. What is it that you've seen? Floating by the hedgerow. Another memory. Of things as they used to be. Oh, Mary. Oh,
beige carpet and stay at stars. black was his glorious suit, white burnt and bar blue. I'm so confused, but I don't know what I'm confused about.
The thing is, music is such an individual choice. We haven't studied that, and it's actually probably the next place we could go.
Bach for Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off on Hey Bachman with Azhar. And then we had Parallel System, System 22 from the Rabudan Praj. This one's got Sandy Milroy, no, Milroy, Scott Verastro, fucking destroying everybody's name, I'm so sorry, and Erica Hardiman. Bummer's Brendan after that, Sweaters and Coffee Cups, and then Sam Lockward with Individual Choice. He did this record where, you know, he lives in Iowa, and so he did covers of all these Iowa bands. Really interesting. So, back to Ori Bachman and his journey through music. So, do you take music to higher education?
No. I actually, I went to art school, so I went to study sculpture. And I did 5 years of sculpture. Parallel to that, I work as a photographer. And a very good friend of mine who was finishing music school, he was doing the conservatory, but to try to get into medical, like music and medicine, like psychology and music.
Yeah.
And he started testing some of his knowledge by creating a small course on harmony. So I took 3 years of harmony with him.
Ah.
That's back in mid-80s. And again, that's actually more or less after I finished that, I was like, you know what? I hate written music. Like, I hate those scores. I hate all that shit. It's like, it's very interesting, but I don't want to deal with that anymore. I don't want to be constrained by it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's exactly when the decision was. And it's like, I parted out from it. Meaning, I have, like, the other day I was with some friends and we're talking about some piano melody things, etc. It's like, oh, yeah. So I wrote them down for him. I said, oh, you write music? Like, well, I can.
Oh, yeah. You choose not to, though. So let me ask you about, you know, the guitar and the bass. Did you let it go?
No, bass. So guitar, I'm playing a little bit, but mostly I'm playing bass. Actually, I finished building, end of last year, I built my own headless bass.
Ah.
Kind of like a Steinberger.
Yeah, sure.
And,
tuned down by the bridge.
Exactly.
But,
amazing.
But Jorge, so, I'm asking is back in those days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Back on those days, yeah. So when I was in Switzerland in art school, I was playing all the time with three of my best friends, photographers.
Yeah.
We had a photo studio, so that was actually my income. And sometimes when it's that time at the studio, well, we had instruments there. So there was a guitar and an amp. I have my bass at the time, which I still have today, which is a Rickenbacker 1973.
Whoa.
And we had an amp there.
4003, 4001?
It's the 4001.
Okay. Probably better because there's only one truss rod. Those two truss rods are shitty.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Twist the neck. So you're having fun on the bass, but are you composing on it also?
I was actually doing composition, but the funny thing is that all my composition was based on tapes. I also acquired an Agra tape recorder. And I was actually creating soundscapes and then putting bass on top of it and then bringing my friends with synth, a Juno 60, and guitar, which was actually a Telecaster.
Yeah.
And then another friend who was creating all this weird shit, like one day he arrives with two buckets full of water and the tube from a vacuum cleaner, and he starts just putting it in his mouth and swinging it around, screaming, and that was the that was the shit.
Did this group have a name?
Yeah.
You want to tell us?
Oh, sorry. So, repeat. I'm having a problem listening, hearing. Repeat the question. Sorry.
Did this band, this ensemble, have a name?
Yeah. No, that one, sorry, doesn't have a name. Meaning, it could, because we always presented ourselves as at the studio, and it was the studio name was Tricycle, because we were three photographers.
Okay. Makes good sense. What's
so, but it didn't exist as a band, Tricycle.
Yeah.
It was more just the three photographers just playing music, and we did a bunch of recorded stuff, which was for we couldn't afford film for shooting film like Super 8 or 16.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of slides. So we were actually shooting a lot of slides, and we created these like hour-long slideshows. So it became kind of like a movie, four wow. projectors,
like a soundtrack.
Exactly. So we were creating soundtracks for it.
In what town, Jorge?
In Lausanne, in Switzerland,
okay,
in the French part.
Sure, in the west.
Yeah.
Very pretty in the Alps and stuff.
Yep.
God, I remember March 15th, 2015. I was there doing a gig. And that's when I heard that Scotty Ash passed away.
It
was a full moon.
That
and I
sucks.
Got the phone call when the gig's over. Yeah, broke my heart. So
I'll oh, shit. Yeah,
nothing
sucks.
Against Lausanne. It's a great town and everything. So
yeah.
So this band, it, no name, but...
You're Cotty.
You're... what can I say? You guys
no,
are...
No, yeah, it's okay. You cut, so I couldn't understand what you were saying.
What I'm saying is I'm trying to go back to those days where you...
Hello?
Yeah, or I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay. So if there's a problem, let's just try to get through
it. Yeah. No. It's actually now I'm hearing correctly.
Because this is where I record the show, so you sound great to the people. If I don't sound so good over there, that's okay. They're not going to hear that. No, they hear the microphone right here from my voice. See. So anyway.
Yeah, okay.
So you guys. Tricycle, but it's not really called Tricycle, but it's a Tricycle studio.
Yeah.
And you're making soundtrack. I guess the photos are from stuff around there?
Yes. So it was the thing. It's like we started because we had an assignment in Venice for a fashion shoot. And then we wanted to do more. So we did a lot of extra work there with kind of creating a story about these two girls running around in Venice. And then when we came back, it's like, wow, we have something about 2,000 or 3,000 images. Let's do something with it. And then we started creating the story, et cetera. And then one of the photographers, Olivier, he was very good at storytelling, et cetera. He wished he had studied filmmaking instead of photography. So he was more or less in charge of the plotting the whole thing, creating the story. And then Charles and myself were more like, let's do this type of music here, this, or let's use this existing track from like Bach or, because we use also a lot of classical music mixed together. But okay. A lot of the stuff was made by us.
Okay.
And I was more on the, I was kind of drifting apart from the structure, like guitar, bass, piano thing. And I was bringing a lot of the field recording. So I was actually, hey, let's use these sounds here, et cetera, and then modulate those or create new sounds. I remember a little anecdote. I'm in the studio. I ask, nobody comes in because I'm going to be recording.
Yeah.
And I was actually dropping pipes on the floor. And I needed to record. I was recording at high speed, and then I'm going to be passing that, playing it at low speed.
Right.
But I needed to be very precise on my tempo. So I created my percussion thing how I wanted.
Sure.
And at one point, one of my friends forgot, come in, and then kicks the big photo stand, and it squeaked. And I was like, fuck, I need to restart. So I pissed, I kick him out.
Yeah.
Then I started re-listening to the thing at low speed, and it sounded like a whale song. I was like, oh my God, this is even fucking better. So I actually spent the whole night till 9 o'clock in the morning, next day, recording the, but pass it low, and it's like, ooh.
Right, right.
So fucking beautiful.
So I think the lesson to be learned there is, accidents can do good things sometimes.
Definitely, yes. We need to pay attention to those accidents.
Right, maybe we gotta apologize to that guy who kicked that shit.
I did apologize next, and then actually, he was one of the photographers.
Ah, okay.
We end up actually using part of those sounds for one of the soundtracks of the things we did.
Yeah, and then also you said you were using the tape recorder as an instrument, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, this whole thing about slowing down tape, speeding up tape. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Many things you can do with that.
So, and it was actually, this is all before Pro Tools and all those DAWs, the AWs,
sure,
in the computer. So it was just amazing. I'm meaning, I still have the Nagra. I still use it for that purpose, or sometimes I use it as an echo machine.
Yeah.
And I love it. Meaning right now it's not plugged, but I have it usually plugged with my modular.
Okay. So it's always available.
Yeah.
Great. Because it's kind of part of your vocabulary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meaning,
yeah,
that's how it became. So I started working with field recordings mostly, and I started just like recording like crazy and then slowing down or changing or pitch shifting, etc. Or cricket, downsize it, cut a loop, and then you create some weird like snare sound, etc. So all doing those things, but, and then all during the early 90s till beginning of 2000s, I was just doing only field recordings.
Wow.
And then discovered MaxMSP, so I was creating my own software for making weird processings, etc., in my samples, and I was just playing with that. I still do a lot of that, but now I integrate it with other instruments, or I create loops, long loops for using with my modular, so I create an extra voice.
Yeah.
Instead of having like to use like 3-4 modules, I use only one that is a sampler, and I can actually play that on top of the other shit that is coming out.
Okay. The learning by doing. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, July 12, 2021, Dish Watt Peter Show. Special guest, R. Hey Bachman. Hold tight for hour two. July 12, 2021. It's the second hour of Watt for Peter Show. The public.
sensations, they're not real. Just figments of your imagination going round on the great wheel. Count the clouds across the sky, count the sheep to the slaughter. A miracle is all around. Do you think you could have caught her as she fell? There's nothing to see here, so stop beating yourself up and kicking while you're down. You're not an animal. You're not even an animal. See here, but a morbid mise-en-scene with a pitiful patina. This life is but a dream. We go from one stage to another, marking time. The rain is pouring down. We run for cover. Nothing to see here, just wasted time. Some things are receding, others coming into sharp relief. Do you think in words or reckon with your feelings? Why is everything so loaded down, so weighted down? A car crash or a flat tire, they're just projections of your desires. The sky this morning was ablaze. The evenings are on fire. There's nothing to see here. And I'm a liar, I'm a liar. Get back into creation and shed this cursed consciousness. I can no longer countenance the vibe. There's nothing to see here. Are we dead or merely alive?
Thank you.
It's still not, but I wasn't there for the earthquake, so
right,
it's actually what it is exactly now.
And I was only a couple miles from. I still played that night. I was in Cupertino, so I was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was still in the South Bay part of there. People, we started second hour off with Jorge Bachman in Nimitz, and we're talking about the I-80 freeway, which he wasn't there when this earthquake went down in the early, I think 91 or something.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. And then there's nothing to see here from Ben Salter out of Tasmania and Uhuru.
Yeah.
By Jorge Blackman. I remember there was a great reggae band called Black Uhuru.
Yeah, Black Uhuru.
Okay. Yeah, really good. A trio, I think.
Yeah.
So, okay, where we left off was Switzerland, but then you end up coming to the U.S.
Yes. So while I was in Switzerland, I actually continued working with my friend photographers, still doing some music. We never did really big gigs out. We created our own gigs in our studio, and we invited people. There was actually maximum 20 people that can sit in the big studio, and then we presented our stuff, which was playback. We were not playing live. We just recorded all the things for the slideshows.
Okay.
Then I moved for 3 years, I went to Carrara, Italy, to carve marble, and I met a bunch of people, so I was actually jamming mostly with all these crazy sculptors.
Whoa.
And nothing came out of it. We were just having fun, etc.
Is that close to Pisa?
It's actually north of Pisa.
Okay, because I know on that coast is where a lot of the marble...
Yeah, so Carrara. Carrara is not... Carrara, you have Carrara, Marina di Carrara, which is the by the ocean, by the sea. But the main port, is there. Then the city of Carrara is like 17 kilometers inland. And then you have these beautiful mountains that look like Magritte painting, like it's like cubes cut. And it's all white, like if it was snowing, but it's not snowing.
It's the dust,
it's actually,
right?
The white marble.
Yeah, yeah. And I also, they take some of that stuff to make toothpaste.
Yes,
and because I play with two Italian guys in Australia, and they told me these workers, these miners, they get these lung problems from this dust.
If you don't pay attention, you get, it's called silicosis.
Right,
which
right.
Is,
white lung.
It's very bad, and there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Right. They told me. So, but you're still doing music on the side, even though you're learning how to sculpt.
So I went to art school for sculptures. So I was actually more or less creating my own sculptures and working for two. I worked for Manuel Neri, which is a pretty famous Bay Area artist, part of like the Wayne Thiebaud and that era of. The 60s in the Bay Area. So I work for Manuel Neri, and I work for a German H.R. Penck. Meaning he gave a small model, and then you need to build cut the whole big thing.
Yeah.
So I was actually working at a studio that was working with those two guys. So for Manuel, I was in his studio. For Penck, I was in a studio called Nicoli, and I was working there for that.
But. Meanwhile, you still work in the bass, you're jamming?
Yes, I did brought my instrument so I can actually do, just keep practicing a little bit.
Sure, but now you're with Italian musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
There were two guys who, one of them was a sculptor, the other one was more like a administrator of a big marble thing, and both of them have a band called Polvere di Pinguino, which means like penguin powder, which is also a word for cocaine. So I actually jammed with those two guys a few times.
Yale.
Well, more than a few times.
Remember that movie Scarface?
Yes, Angel, sir.
Give me Yale. Uh-huh. Movie, Al Pacino, a little bit of overacting. But he had to. That part was still so fucking crazy.
Definitely,
so,
yeah.
So was one of those cats to connect with the city? Is that why you moved over straight to San Francisco?
No, so actually I was thinking on staying in Europe. I wanted to go either live back in Carrara or live in southern France, close to Les Baux-de-Provence. But unfortunately at the time, Switzerland refused to belong to the EC, so it was impossible for me to go and work there.
Right.
So I was going to be miserable. And I was born in the US. So my dad was finishing an MBA at MIT, so I was born in Boston. So it's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm gringo. I'm coming.
Yeah, you're a gringo, but you're on the other side.
Yeah.
That's the starboard side. You end up on the port side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to say, I visited a few times Boston, and yeah, it's cute, but I don't like it.
Okay. I want to play this Lithocode.
Lithocode, yeah.
Yeah, I see.
beans.
Yeah, right. No, we don't say fried Joel's, okay? We might say Pedro here, but I'm from Virginia. I came here at 9 years old. I found that's the way they talked. They told me it was from the Scandinavian sailors 100 years ago, not known Espanol. But we don't say fried Joel's. We don't say tortillas. We don't say jalapenos. That's we fucked that one up, Pedro. But we also the guy who founded, even though there was like thousands of Tugva living here, we call him Cabrillo. Okay, so we fuck up those two.
That's exactly the problem. Here, the island where I recorded a bunch of those tracks that you are passing, like the Nimitz, etc., is all in Vallejo, but here is Vallejo.
Vallejo. It's even worse. When I was a boy, I was there for a couple months because there was a sub base there. My pop got nuclear training for engine rooms, and all the we heard of this town Vallejo, but everybody on the base there lived in Valley Joe.
Oh, that's even worse.
It's way worse. Like, we heard of this town. My mom, I was just a little baby and shit. She was telling me about this. Yeah, the people were so out of touch. They didn't know they were saying their own town wrong.
That's so bad. Oh, my God. I never heard that one.
Pretty fucked up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is bad. But anyway.
Okay. We play Lithicode.
Lithicode, yeah.
Right, and then
which is it's the idea of odd as like a homage to some stones, which is based on the wave organ in the marina, San Francisco Marina. It's based on recordings from the wave organ.
Then we get double duo for oboe and tenor sax from Margolis. And then halos, or alos,
alos.
Or halos.
It's exactly that. It's un halo is a halo.
Right, right. Because the people, in Espanol, H is invisible.
Yeah. It's
silent.
It's like silent, yeah.
Yeah. Like when we do psychiatry, or that. Yeah, you don't say the P.
Yeah, exactly.
Spelling is a trip, man. Humans and their spelling, it's a trip.
The worst is when you're doing French.
Well, because all the ending letters you don't say, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they're using one alphabet, Roman alphabet, to do all these people's sounds.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's trippy. Okay, and so what music do you do when you get to San Francisco?
So when I got to San Francisco, I was mostly doing field recordings and kind of weird experimental stuff, mostly soundscape, not very harsh. And then little by little, I started just like, you know what? I need a little bit of the noise. I always love metal. So I wanted to introduce a little bit like distortions and shit like that, but based on field recording. So you get whatever little water or birds tripping, etc., but pass it through distortions, etc., to create new things. So I was like, more or less till 2012, I was mostly doing only field recordings.
The thinking behind this is like, I want to start with something really organic.
Yes.
Instead of like electronic, always got to come to machines. No, it could start with the organic sound and then get process.
Exactly. And the advantage also when you start, since I was used to like cutting tape, etc., then you get on the computers, it's easier to do the cut and paste, etc. And then it's just when you start going into the tiny little details of a sound, and then it becomes kind of like micro sound, what Kim Cascone coined. And I was actually doing a lot based on that, meaning it's like you can compose one piece with 2 seconds of a vacuum cleaner noise, and you can compose a full like 10-minute thing with it.
Right, because you can part it up and editing and repeats
and using granular system.
Exactly. You're just not tied to the 12-note thing.
No. And so meaning I've been reintroducing the notes, meaning being a little bit into the harmonies and shit like that, because I'm starting to, I'm craving to play more black metal shit.
Not necessary.
I don't like the voices, so it would be more like a dark ambient thing, but I've been actually I haven't yet taken it out, but I've been actually practicing and trying new stuff with a bunch of pedals that I got and my bass. So I have an octaver, I have 2-3 distortions, etc., and then some overdrives, plus echoes and reverbs, and it's just trying to get sounds, crunchy sounds from it, and then trying to layer them then with my modular.
Okay, but no Cookie Monster voice.
No, I don't like that.
We're at the end of the second hour, July 12, 2021. Just Watt Peters, a special guest, R.A. Bachman. Hold tight for hour three. July 12, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Peters show. Walk for Pedro show. We started the third hour off with Zoe, Jorge Bachman, the West Riding that took your name out of Netherlands, and then Jorge Bachman with Amanecer.
Amanecer. Amanecer.
Amanecer.
Amanecer. That is in Spanish, and this is just the early morning. It's just the dawn.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Dawn, dusk, which is the one in the morning. Dawn. Yeah.
Right. Dawn. Mm-hmm. It's like the sunset's the other one, right?
You
were telling me off air something about Zoe.
So, yeah, Zoe. Zoe is part of a series. So it's the name of one of the cities in Italo's Calvino's Invisible Cities. Yeah. And this is a project that my friend David Graves, who used to live here in San Francisco, but unfortunately moved to a year and a half ago, just before pandemic, moved to Eugene, Oregon. And he's coming to visit tonight. So I'm having dinner with him tonight and his wife. And he started kicking out this invisible city in which he proposed friends of him to collaborate.
Okay.
And in this specific one, Zoe, there's no collaboration in the sense that the whole track is me. And he was like, dude, I have nothing to add onto your track. Your track is perfect. Leave it like that. I'm like, well, if you want, perfect, no problem. But it was not intended that way. But he was like completely overwhelmed. He's like, this is so good. I'm not touching it. I'm leaving it the way it is. So I think it's one of the rare tracks in the whole 51 that is just myself.
But that brings up a good point about improvisation. Like somebody has to go first.
Yeah.
But what if the guy who's going second, just like your buddy here, man, you already did it.
Yeah. But you know what? Part of improvisation, and that's one of the things I love. So I'm part of a band, a trio called Faults with Kevin Corcoran and Jaroba. So Kevin Corcoran is doing extended techniques on percussion, and Jaroba plays reeds, mostly bass clarinet, and I'm in the electronics part. And we play a lot. We've been playing together since 2013.
Yeah.
And we'll listen, etc. And sometimes I don't play anything. Why? Because what's happening already on stage doesn't need any additional thing. So my contribution is just silence.
I think in jazz they say lay out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? That's the better part of valor sometimes, because, you know, it's like for example, me playing the bass. Sometimes I got to do something I call work in the holes. I got to imagine where I'm leaving spaces for the other guys.
I hear you.
Okay. I'm going to play this. You got these two Vogel tunes, Vogel Laura and Vogel Yuri.
Yeah.
Vogel meaning bird?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started off with that chunk, Jorge Bachman with Volga Lara. Then we had Rice Course. Lucas Abella Prodge with two cats he did in China called Rice Corpse, and like the body, right? Not the military unit, people.
Yes.
And it's called Mountain. And then Jorge Bachman with Vogel Yuri. Explain the enlighten us to this Vogel stuff.
I don't know how to explain it. No, it's just it's fill recordings with some synths.
For example, why do they have similar titles?
Because it was part of a series.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's a little series that I've been...
You know, Jorge, I'm working on the mind reading, but in the meantime, I still have to use some words.
Yes, I know. I know. It's funny because that's actually one of the unfortunate things. It's like, I love words, but at the meantime, I hate them.
Yeah.
Because they constrain too much. So it's like sometimes it's like, I don't want you to listen to my explanation. Just listen to the piece.
That's why you made the music in the first place, is when the words weren't good enough. Yeah.
Exactly. So if I have chosen, I don't know, like rhetoric or I know how to make these beautiful discourses.
Yeah.
But I'm making music.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Instrumental music, how important are the titles?
The titles, meaning sometimes I battle against, it's like, why do I need to put a title? But it's just to give a little bit of a context.
Yeah, right.
And that's it. But ideally, it's the same problem I have also with visual arts, in which it's like, you still have to put a little bit of an intention by giving a title. That people that just is untitled number one to untitled number 30, fuck that shit. Because it just, you lose track on things because, it's untitled number one, but which year? That's what he started doing 20 years before, and then now it's untitled number one, but it's like 20 years later. It's like, doesn't make any sense. So if you have a little bit of context, so I still think it's important. Meaning when you look at the album, my album of Mare Island, it's just the names of streets are around there. And it does have a little bit, not exactly, but a little bit of a relationship where I got some of the recordings, the field recordings.
Okay.
So it's just that. And the other ones is like, the one with the crow thing is like, I used the name in, it's not Cherokee, but it's one of the indigenous people from Southern California around Borrego. Borrego, Anza Borrego Desert.
Okay.
And so I used those words like that, and I tried combinations, like the Lytic Ode. It's like, it's a bunch of stones that are actually making noise with the waves. Then, that's it. It's like a...
So what you're saying is it helps with the identity of the piece.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
It's just to put in context things.
We got some, because the main people here were called Chumash, Tugva here in Pedro, but Chumash in SoCal. And like some words, you know, Spain, those guys used them, like Cahuenga. That's not a Spanish word. That's a Chumash word.
Yep.
And Cahuenga is where there was a club called Catalina, and Raymond Pettibone took me to see Elvin Jones play like 10, 11 times.
Wow.
Mr. Ray Brown, Cecil McBee, Sam Rivers. Yeah,
that's all the good stuff.
Billy Higgins. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the good stuff.
Yeah. Max Roach, a buttload of times. I saw Ravi Coltrane.
John Coltrane was
playing with Max Roach. All the count-ins were like, and.
That's actually crazy.
It was totally
funny.
Crazy.
Where you are actually, you're south of Ventura. It's like I went a few times to Ventura, and then all that highway going up to there is packed with clubs of amazing, like gritty rock and metal and shit like that, and indie rock. But
and really the Palomino is country western. You're talking about the US 101, Ventura Freeway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes all through the Val and stuff when you're coming from Ventura. It's Ventura if you're going that way. It's the Hollywood freeway if you're going.
Yeah.
The way they name shit here is fucked up. But Yeah, you're right. You know, and that's one of the things that broke down the Berlin walls in my head about genre and shit. And music is music. And yeah, just let go of all that naming shit.
Yeah. And I'm very, meaning, now that you point the naming thing, I'm very bad at that. And I was talking with somebody who is actually a really, really deep head on metal. And it's like, he was pointing to me that there is actually an encyclopedia called Encyclopedia Metalum with all the names. And it's like, why? My band is playing this. Like, what the fuck is that? Is this black metal? No, it has a little bit of doom. It has a little bit of that. Like, and then create a new name, a new acronym. I'm like, I don't care about that shit.
Yeah, I know.
This is just intellectual masturbation. Yeah, I don't care.
Totally. And humans are very guilty of that. Look, where can people find you on the internet?
So they can find me on, if you do Ruido Bello,
yeah,
which means beautiful noise in Spanish, .ch, you'll have there's a link tree there, and then you'll have a few. I'm right now in the process. My brother is helping me to work on my new website, which is being due for at least 10 years. But as I say, it's like, I'd rather be playing music than just dealing with that shit.
I know. And like,
but it is important. I know. I have also a SoundCloud as Ruido Bello, and I have also, so if you go to ruidobello.ch,
yeah,
you'll find everything there.
Great. CH, Switzerland.
Yeah. Meaning, I wanted the .com, but a company in a graphic design company in Spain took it, and they were asking for like $10,000.
Yeah,
like, you know what? I don't care. I'm Swiss too, so I use the CH. It's actually pretty.
Yeah. Man, it's been great having you on the show. When you get some new stuff going, will you come back on and we can play it and talk about it?
Definitely. I will be sending you more stuff. Well, actually, just a little plug. With Falls, the band I'm playing with, we're putting an LP. It's coming at the end of the year. I just got the test presses last week. I've been listening to it, and it's fucking sounding great.
End of year.
Unfortunately,
okay,
everything is very slow, so it's going to be for December that I get the
final LP. Time. That's my next openings for show. So you come back on in December, Jorge.
Perfect.
Thanks so much. Maybe not perfect, but good enough.
Yeah.
People, it's been July 12th, 2021 edition. Wapito, so keep your powder dry.